on the internet this week, and I discovered that the Huffington Post, which is an online newspaper, actually has a whole search category entitled Jesus Sightings. I thought, fabulous. If you peruse this category, you can find an amazing number of places where people have recognized Jesus' presence just in the last year alone. For instance, here's a story reporting a Jesus sighting from just last year. Celebrities are a fairly common sight at the Hard Rock Hotel San Diego, but the hotel may have had a celebrity sighting of truly biblical proportions, Jesus Christ. The image of what some people think looks like the Almighty appeared in the window of one of the hotel rooms over the weekend. Chuck Rickman, a retired 911 dispatcher, noticed the image while taking a stroll. "I was walking downtown and it popped out at me," Rickman told the Huffington Post. "I had a cell phone and I took a picture of it." Rickman says he's not religious and thought the image could either be Jesus or Led Zeppelin. A hotel representative was happy to see the photo, but said there had been no other reported Jesus sightings in any of the windows. Still, Matt Green, the Hard Rock Hotel San Diego's general manager, is thrilled by the prospect. "Celebrities stay here all the time," he said, "but if it's Jesus, he'd be the biggest one yet." Oh, but there's more. Across the pond, a man named Martin Andrews was doing laundry and spilled some fabric softener on a shirt. When he took a closer look at the fabric softener stain, there was Jesus. In the splotch appeared a man with two arms outstretched and a halo on his head. "I showed my mates at work the picture," Andrews said, "and one of them said, 'I've heard you can find comfort in Jesus, but you've found Jesus in comfort.'" These are all completely real. Meanwhile, that same week, Jesus was appearing back over here in Massachusetts, where Brian Krantz looked at the drop cloth he's used for years house painting. Y'all have been painting downstairs, you should really go check out our drop cloths. And spotted Jesus exiting the tomb. "It's totally wild," Krantz said. "It leaves me speechless." The sacred sight was so staggering that Krantz and his buddy decided to take an early lunch that day. As a lasting tribute, Krantz has said that he will frame the cloth. Now, to be fair, the explanation for Jesus' appearances in hotel windows and drop cloths and laundry stains may actually have scientific roots. Researchers have said that the human brain is wired to look for familiarity and meaning in the most abstract things. And because of this biological predisposition, our brains automatically identify similar objects and organize them according to type. That's why, for example, we can look at a baseball cap and a beret and know right away that both are hats. It's also why, apparently, we can identify something as random as fabric softener as something holding a much greater significance, perhaps even the figure of Christ. But all of this leaves me wondering, for real, if Jesus actually appeared in front of us, would we recognize him? Would we identify the one we see as the Christ? And if so, how would we behave? Would we do anything differently? Based upon what Jesus said in this morning's parable, I have to assume that the answer is actually a resounding no. The parable of the sheep and the goats, as it's often called, is a well-known one, but this week I noticed something in it that I don't think I've ever really noticed before. I've never realized that the sheep and the goats have something crucial in common in this story. Neither of them actually managed to recognize Jesus when he was in front of them in an unexpected form. Did you notice that? That when they were confronted in this story about their behavior, both groups asked the same question. "Lord, when did we see you?" Neither group recognized Jesus in the moment. Neither identified or named him when he was right before their eyes. Neither righteous nor unrighteous, in the heat of daily decision in their lives, recognized that they were in the midst of an encounter. What set the sheep and the goats apart from each other then was not that one group managed to successfully recognize Jesus while the other failed to recognize Jesus. What set them apart was how the groups behaved even when they didn't realize something extra special was going on. Barbara Brown Taylor, as always, has a brilliant interpretation of what the sheep and goats have in common and what makes them different. Sheep and goats alike, she writes, thought that Jesus occupied one space at a time just like they did. And the way they behaved in his presence was really all that mattered. Meanwhile, that left them a lot of free time for, you know, being with other people in their lives, including the ones who really didn't count. The little ones, the least ones. The waitresses, the door-to-door magazine salesmen, the nursing home residents, the panhandlers, the inmates, the strangers at the grocery store. Of course, these people matter to God, and Jesus makes this clear in the story. But what also matters is how they behaved when they thought God was not around. Not just in church, but in these everyday encounters with others who are all children. It's kind of like we're called to look at each other and see Christ, even when we don't explicitly or consciously realize that Jesus is standing before us. It's just to be our automatic response, to let our souls that are inhabited by Christ automatically recognize Christ in the souls of those around us, and to honor that Jesus in the way that we live. That applies particularly, according to this story, to the way we treat those we see as different than us. Because I think that's really at the heart of those we might call the least. Neither the sheep nor the goats remembered recognizing Jesus, and none of them made news headlines for their recognition. But the sheep saw the person beside them, the person in need, the person crying out, and in recognizing and acknowledging and acting with compassion towards that person, whether they knew it or not, they were recognizing Jesus. This story has long been a rallying cry for the church to commit itself to work with the least of these in our society. Those who've been pushed to the margins by hunger, by thirst, by illness, by difference, by oppression, by poor choices, by all sorts of circumstances. And this story is indeed that. A powerful reminder, as Kathleen Norris puts it, that as followers of Jesus, we are to act as if Christ is in other people, even the stranger whom we believe we have reason to fear, the prisoner whose acts we find reprehensible, the sick we'd rather condemn because we're convinced that their lifestyles contributed to their illness, the hungry who should have been able to fend for themselves like the rest of us. We're called to recognize Christ in all of these others. We're called to see what God has placed before us and act on what we have seen. Because when all the people of the earth are gathered before God, this, we are told, is what will set apart those who have truly followed Jesus. But I think this story is not just a word to recognize Jesus in those distant from us. I think it's also an important word reminding us of the importance of recognizing and honoring Jesus in the way we treat those right beside us. There's just a couple of words in this story that convince me that Jesus was telling this parable not only to remind his disciples of how to treat those far away, but also to advise them on how to act towards one another as they live in intimate community. He didn't just say, whenever you have done this to the least of these. He said, when you have done this to the least of these, my brothers and sisters. Or I think in the translation Paul read, it was, these my followers. I think it was slightly different. But whatever it is, the word that is there in Greek is a word that's almost always reserved to describe those who are part of the church community, of the body of Christ, those who lived and worshiped and served together. So it's not just a statement about honoring those in Jesus and those we might meet one time and then never encounter again. It's about living towards those right beside us, week in, week out, in a way that recognizes Jesus in them. And I think sometimes seeing Jesus in the familiar can be even harder. Today, as Dave mentioned at the beginning of worship, we're wrapping up our series on being broadneck, our journey of looking at the covenant statements that are going to form the core of our new church bylaws, which will be coming before you after the first of the year. And as we come to the end of this particular leg of our journey, I find myself wondering what it might mean for us to truly recognize Jesus in one another. Even in the times when those beside us are acting in such a way that it may seem Jesus has left the building and is nowhere to be found. How might we honor those we see as the least of these, my brothers and sisters, in this community, in the same way that we would honor Christ if he were to walk through that door? Our third covenant statement, I think, points us towards some possible answers to that question. One of the major ways we're kind of re-envisioning life together is in a new model for how we go about that most potentially contentious of things in church life, making decisions together. The model we're seeking to enact as a community is one not just where the loudest or most boisterous voices are heard and honored, but where we intentionally recognize every person and every voice as a significant bearer of Christ's presence and Christ's wisdom. And our third covenant statement lays out ways that we might recognize Christ in one another as we enter into such processes together. It says, as a member of Broadneck Baptist Church, I commit myself to being part of the church's decision-making process. This means openness towards and relationship with those who may be different than me. Honoring and respecting the different ways the Spirit of God is at work in each of us. I will listen before speaking, be thoughtful about my words, and recognize that God's Spirit has the power to lead us in directions that may make me uncomfortable or not be what I imagined. I will seek God's guidance in cooperating with others to make decisions that are for the benefit of all. Talk about a countercultural statement. In our society, I think we all behave like goats a whole lot more than sheep. We like to plow ahead doing what we want to do. And we don't often take time to really see or listen or genuinely respond to those around us, particularly those who might see or think differently than we do. It seems right that our theme for the season of Advent we're beginning next week is the theme of listening. Because I think as we seek to receive Christ among us once again, as we head towards Christmas, that learning to see and hear God in those around us, in the places we may not expect God to appear or to speak, is one of the most crucial practices that we must recover as Jesus' followers. We have to train ourselves to live and to act in such ways that honor Christ in the one beside us, even when we don't consciously recognize Christ there. In painting this picture of the sheep and the goats, Jesus is showing us what it means to be the church, and it's both very simple and very challenging all at the same time. It's no easy thing sometimes to see God in the people around us. When sometimes others are saying or doing or suggesting things that seem as far from Jesus as possible, or at least as far from what we recognize as Jesus as possible. But here's the truth. Even when we don't recognize Jesus, Jesus is there. Even in you and in me. At our Broadneck ministerial meeting last week, when we got together to finalize planning for tonight's community Thanksgiving service, Father Jeff from St. Andrew's by the Bay was telling us a story of recently going into his church's preschool to do chapel. Jeff was all decked out in his alb and his chasuble and his holy attire. These were clothes that the kids were not used to seeing on this exceptionally casual priest who rarely even wears a collar. As he walked in, a little boy in the four-year-old class waved at him vigorously and cheerfully exclaimed, "Hi, Jesus!" Jeff was absolutely horrified. Oh, Peter, he said, "Don't get confused by how I look. I'm about as far from being Jesus as you get." The little boy looked confused. "But didn't you say that Jesus lives in all of us?" And Jeff had absolutely no reply. My hope for us as a community is that we may be those with the eyes of that child, recognizing Jesus in the least and the greatest, in the plainest and the fanciest, in the most liberal and the most conservative, in the most outspoken and the most reserved. May we recognize Jesus in those with doctorates and those with no high school diploma, with practical ideas and harebrained schemes, those easygoing and those high-strung, the opera singers and the tone-deaf, and the oldest and the youngest among us, those walking through the door for the first time, those who've been here since day one, and those who may never enter this space. In each person we encounter, may we recognize Jesus through the way we treat one another, with dignity, with openness, with respect, with honor, and with eagerness to catch a glimpse of what Jesus may do and where Jesus may unexpectedly show up. Because whether we recognize it or not, the truth is this: Jesus is there. So thanks be to such an all-present God, to the Christ who never fails to show up in us and among us. Amen.